As you know, we are still in Genesis as we continue to study out of Genesis. And today I have the privilege of bringing you chapter 35.
Come on, bro.
So I'm going to go back a little bit, chapter 34. You know, we had the incidents where, of the rape and Dinah's rape and the subsequent of the father. Jacob's kind of ignoring it, but the boys kind of got together and decided to go out and do some killing, as we saw, and basically, using God, as Richard put it, using something that God had put sacred to be able to, which was the circumcision, and used that to be mischievous and actually kill it. So, in many ways, that's kind of how we started off in chapter 34. But we're going to jump into 35, and 35, I'll give you a little breakdown of 35 before we get into it. 35 is a kind of a renewal for Jacob, if you want to say that, and the family as well. And the title of my message this morning is going to be The Way Back. Again, the title is The Way Back.
Amen.
Now, if you look at it, in chapter 35, it's been 30 years since Jacob was in death. And he has promised now in 35, we're going to talk a little bit about it, to go back to that. But it's been over 30 years since he's been in Bethlehem. And another major thing is, I looked up some history and all that and some distance. No, Bethlehem, from where he was actually located, was only 30 miles away.
Yeah.
Wasn't that amazing?
It's amazing.
Wasn't that far. But it took him 30 years to go back. So, it kind of gives us, we know Jacob has gave us some, since we've been studying out Jacob, he has not been the most faithfulest man when it comes to doing what God wants him to do. There was 3 points of this message that I want to kind of hope to get out of this is that, number one is God's tolerance for bad behavior. Number two is God's forever forgiveness for us. And number three is God always has a plan to bring you back.
Amen.
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 Amen. So let's go ahead and jump in there. It says in chapter 35, we start off with verse 1. Then God said to Jacob, go up to Bethel and settle there and build an altar there to God who appeared to you when you were fleeing from your brother Esau. So Jacob said to his household and to all who were with him, get rid of your foreign gods that you have with you and purify yourself and change your clothes. Then come, let us go up to Bethel, where I will build an altar to God, who answered me in the day of my distress, and who has been with me wherever I have gone. So they gave Jacob all the foreign gods they had, and the rings in their ears, and Jacob buried them on the host at Shechem. Then they set out. And the terror of God fell on the town all around them, so that no one would pursue them. Jacob had all the people. I'm sorry?
Go ahead, go ahead.
Okay. Jacob and all the people from him came to Luz, that is Bethel, in the land of Canaan. There they built an altar, and he called it the place El Bethel. Because it there was that God revealed himself to him when he was fleeing from his brother. We'll stop right there. So here it is, he's made a decision to go back, and there's some issues that he has to deal with. Number one is, he has to get rid of some, his family has to get rid of some gods. And it's amazing that here's a man that has been blessed by God so many times, so often, and has even spoken to God. But yet, his family members have idols and gods. And it's kind of, I'm a little surprised at Jacob, but the fact that his relationship with God should have been more tied to the point where he would say, why would you have any other gods in my house when God has given us so much? Which they have all seen the miracles of God. Don't get me wrong, all the women and everything, they've seen the great things that God has done for them. But yet in his household, he has to go to them and ask them to give up their gods. That is a pretty amazing thing for a man who is actually following God. And the other thing about that that was interesting was he said, give up your clothes. And I did a little research on that thinking, now clothes, why don't you need to give up your clothes and your earrings? Well, look at it this way. You know, we're taught in our lives that, you know, that in order for us to change or to be about a new beginning, we have to give up some things. We have to let go of some things. And for in that time period, clothing was considered something like you would see, like your body. It's like giving up everything that shows who you are at this time in your life. And sometimes we have to do that, even in our own lives. In order for us to see God, we got to push away all the things in the past and the things that may inhibit us from being with God, if that makes sense. In other words, if I'm a man who has been in sin and I've been in some situations, the best thing is to do is flee from that. And sometimes you got to, hey, change your clothes, change your attitude, change even where you live at. I remember one time I told my wife when I joined the military back in the 80s, I wasn't in a good place in the 80s. I'll admit that. There was a lot of stuff in my life that was going on in the 80s when I was living in Jackson that were not good. And I have to say it with God, because I joined the military just by going down and saying, I'm joining the military. I didn't even tell my wife or anything. I just walked down and said, I'm joining the military. Wow. And that's pretty bold of me, because I didn't even discuss it with her. I said, I'm going to, and I don't know what made me do it. It had to be God, because it wasn't my plan to join the military. However, though, the time I left Mississippi, at that time, crack cocaine was starting to come into play. And a lot of heavy other drugs in Jackson. And sad to say that all of my friends, these that I grew up with, the guys that I hung out with, a lot of them became crack addicts. But I left at a time when that was starting to be a play to join the military. And I have to say, God said, you know what? You got to get out of here. I've got to take you to Bethel. You know, Bethel is the military. I got to put you somewhere else. I got to change your clothes. I'm going to put you in a military uniform. Trust me, that was an experience. And just to be able to take away all of that and put me in a whole new situation in life. I don't know what would have happened if I would have stayed there in Jackson during that time. I could have become just, because these were guys that I hung out with frequently. So I think God said to me, it's just like he said to Jacob, get up and go away. Change yourself. But in the process, guess what? I had to bring my family too. And so there were some things that they had to give up. They had to change their way of life. My wife had no idea what it was to be like a military wife. But she had to learn. She had to put away the old her and become the new her. And that was a change. I had a daughter at the time, which was Erica. She had to become a military brat, as they call it. You know, there was a lot of things that to me, when I look at that, I go, wow, this is true. In our lifetime, we have to make some ultimate changes. And I think that Jacob's time was here. God was telling him, you know what? I've got to change this. And then as we go on, we're going to find out, not only did he change this, he changed something else in his life. And we'll go now to, let's go to the next verse 8. It says, now Deborah, Rebecca's nurse, died and was buried under an oak tree in Bethel. So he named it Alabaku. After Jacob returned from Padan Aram, God appeared to him again and blessed him. God said to him, your name is Jacob, but it will no longer be called Jacob. Your name will be Israel. So he named it Israel, and God said to him, I am the God Almighty. Be fruitful and increase in numbers. A nation and a community of nations will come from you, and kings will be among you and your descendants. The land I gave to Abraham and Isaac, I also give to you. and I will give this land to your descendants after you. Then God went up from him in the place where he had talked with him. Jacob set aside his stone pillar at the place where God had talked with him. And he poured out a drink, offering it. He also poured an oil on it. Jacob called this place where God had talked with him Bethel. Then they moved on from Bethel. I'll stop right there. Now, when it talks a little bit about Rebecca's nurse dying, the research I found on it, there's very little, I don't know the significance of that, for the fact that later on she does end up getting pregnant and the nurse is not there with her. But however, it doesn't talk much about it except for the fact it talked about where she was buried. It was called the Oath of the Weeping. And you know, that is the only significance on it that I can find on that, but she was an important part of their family. She'd been with them a long time. And evidently, she was important enough for Jacob them to give her a representation of a stone or a marking that represented her. So she was very important to the family. But the biggest thing I want you to think about out of this part here is, see, Jacob now is gone, you gotta move on. You gotta change the clothes, you gotta change the earring, you gotta change all that. But guess what else I'm gonna do for you? You gotta change the name. So you're no longer called Jacob. No. John said that don't work anymore. Because we've got to get rid of all of this stuff from you. You know, your name's got to change, everything about you. That's why I relate that back to the scripture. Now I am no longer called Henry Harrington, I'm called Aaron Harrington. And, you know, I didn't get they say, you're no longer who you are. You are now part of the United States government. And you are going to get a new name. And I put that in, the reason why I put these both in comparison is that I had to learn a new life. I had to learn a new way of thinking. I had to learn about, you know, honor, respect, some things that I think I was lacking. Discipline. Getting up every morning at 4:30, hitting the run, doing all these things, being able to stand for a long time, doing all these things. And I think this is the same way God does with us. Just like that. He said that, you know what, at some point in your life, if you won't follow me, you're going to have to put away the old. You're going to have to throw it all off. If you don't, there's no way. You know, it's kind of like the being in the world. You know, you cannot stay in the world and think you're going to continue to follow God. That doesn't work. No matter how hard you try, no matter how much balance you try to put in, it does not work. And Jacob found that out, even in his, as we go back to chapter 34, 33, all this, you know, he was trying to, you know, basically walk the tightrope with family, with all the issues he was dealing with, but he still had an issue of following God. He knew who God was. Don't get me wrong. He spoke to God. He had conversation, but still, there was a reluctance to him to give his all, to give everything he had over to God. He still had all these issues that he continued to do and deal with in his family and in his life as well. When you think about when you change names, how important that is. You know, in the Bible, there's many situations where we find that God has changed names. Mm-hmm. But he told Abram, you're no longer Abram, you're Abraham. And that's a meaning to names. Take, for instance, Abram means exalted father. However, Abraham means father of many nations. Sarah, which was Sarah, means princess. However, when she changed her name, when her name was changed to Sarah, it means my princess. And then we have Simeon, who we know was Cephas, which means Peter, which is the rock. And Jesus changed his name. See, the changing of the name means that I'm going to change your perception of who you really are. It just wasn't this way. You know what? I just think about it one day I'm riding along. I think I'm going to change my name to this. No. When God changes names and changes you, he changes you for the better. He was looking at the big picture. And he knew that changing your name and changing where you're from, changing your perception would change you. take you away from all those things makes a difference in your life. It says, Israel shall be your name. The next thing came in and said that it was a confirmation of Jacob of his title of prince. Because he told him, now that your name is going to be changed, what did he say? Be fruitful, increase in numbers, a nation of community and a nation that you will be, you will have kings that will follow behind you as your descendants. So he was telling them now, I am really giving you the same promise I gave Abraham. Now, sometimes I wonder about it. I'm like, wow, Jacob wasn't like he was doing all the right things. But that goes back to me when, you know, God has a tolerance for bad behavior. He saw the behavior, but guess what? God still had a plan. And we don't get on going to the, and pouring the drink of offering of the oil, that is important too, because it's a sacrificial act when you pour the oil over the worship service part when he came to pour the oil over. That was important for him, for God to be part of their ceremonial. You know, many times we see these things in the Old Testament, you go, well, why are these things important? And those are symbolizations of life when you pour oil over a stone or an altar of some kind. But we'll go on down to verse 16. To start it. Now, this is the death of Rachel and Isaac. And it says, while they were still some distance from Ephraim, Rachel began to give birth and had great difficulty. And as she was having great difficulty in childbirth, the midwife said to her, don't despair, for you have another son. As she breathed her last, she was dying. She named her son Benoni. But his father named him what? Benjamin. Here we go again. A renaming of someone. So Rachel died and was buried on her way to Ephraim. This is now what we call Bethlehem. I'm going to start reading that real quick. So here we are now. She has a son, and she ends up dying in the process. Remember earlier back, she lost her nurse who had been with her all her life. And that may have been significant in the fact that she had such a hard childbirth, or maybe the fact that she had just gotten older in life. However, it's important to realize that during all her other childbirth, she did very well when she had a nurse, but her nurse was gone. She was not there to take care of anymore. But the name that she named was one name. But Jacob realized that, you know what? I want to give him another name that I feel that's much better than representative of God. The name was Benjamin. Now, Benjamin is a name that means the right hand. And there you are, we always say that the right hand of God. So he knew that this was important to name him Benjamin on that, because he knew what it meant. And we always talk about the right hand of God, being at the right hand of God. Benjamin was that symbol for Jacob. You know, and he needed that for him as a continuation of his legacy and his father. And there's more about this Benjamin down in other chapters in the book, but I won't get into all that today. That'll be more to come. But we'll keep on reading. It says, over her tomb, Jacob set up a pillar. And this day, that pillar marks Rachel's tomb. Israel moved on again and pitched his tent beyond Migdal El Eder. While Israel was living in that region, Reuben went and slept with his father's concubine, Bella. And Israel heard of it. Jacob had 12 sons. And I'm going to tell him, we'll stop right there. Now here it is, again, Jacob is dealing with an issue. Now one thing about Jacob that was to me as a concern is, every time Jacob had an issue, Jacob seemed to not want to confront it. His daughter was raped. He didn't really confront that issue. The stealing of the, remember his wife stole some of her father's, you know, gods, as you want to say. Just so many things, dealing with his own brother. There's so many things that he just seems to want to avoid. It's kind of hard for me to understand that, because here's a man, again, I go back. He spoke to God. He had a conversation. He had a relationship with God. Yet, it seemed like he never resorted back to believing that God had his back. I guess he assumed, like a lot of times we do, God don't have my back. I got to handle this myself. And sometimes I just don't want to handle it, so I'm not going to handle it. I'm going to wait for it.
Right.
Maybe that's how he felt. I'm not for sure. But sometimes we can feel that way. Not realizing that God has our back. He's always there. It's just a matter of us coming to him and letting him take over. And that's what, you know, was known as Jacob's, I feel, that one of his problems was. He didn't let God do what God needed to do for him. But again, though, as I said earlier, God is forever forgiveness, and God always got a plan. Amen?
Amen.
Yeah, so we're going to keep reading here. It says, the son of Leah, Reuben, was the firstborn of Jacob, Simeon, Levi, and Judah, and Zachariah and Zebulun, the son of Rachel, Joseph, and Benjamin, the son of Rachel's servant, Bella, Dan, and their father, the son of Leah's servant, Zilpah, Gad, and Asher. There were the sons of Jacob who were born to him in Paddan Aram. Jacob came home to his father Isaac in Mamre, near Kiriath Arba. If I mess up these words, don't blame me, because I'm getting close on, I hope. Abraham and Isaac has stayed. Isaac lived 180 years. I'm getting close, y'all. I got about 130 more to go. So then, he breathed his last and died and was gathered to his people, old and full of years, and his son Esau and Jacob buried him. So here it is, we got Benjamin, we got his father. You know, he's finally passed on. The significance of this is that they buried him, they had family. They all came back together as a family to unite. This is really what a significant part is, because they needed to unite. After all the things that they've gone through, the son was there, the brother was there, everybody was there. And they had a moment to come back together. This is important. And like as we go on to other scriptures in the Bible, you'll find out this is very important. They needed to do that, to come together as a family, to do what God needed to do. But, you know, in this whole chapter, I've thought about this, you know, and as it looked at them, Jacob has some decisions to make, and Jacob was chosen by God. And Jacob even became the name Israel, and that's his new name. You know, I think sometimes for us, and this is me as I go ahead to close here, that sometimes for us, we can get lost. And I think Jacob got lost many times.
Yeah.
And many times until he got back to God. Until he got back to God, had to tell him, change everything about you, change everything about your family, and even change your name. Sometimes for us, that's what we have to do. We've got to let go of the past. We've got to put it aside. We've got to realize where we are and have a sober judgment, and have to ask ourselves, what do I have to give up in this world so that I can be close to God? Mm-hmm. Jacob had to make that decision with his family. He had, and it was, you know, like they followed him wherever he went, and I hope that our families would do that as leaders. But however, even in your own spirit, yourself, think about what you got to, you know, that's something in all of our lives that we still hold on to. Like I said, I remember back in my military days, and I never thought I'd ever be in the military. I'll be honest with you. If someone would have asked me that when I was younger, I'd tell them, you must squash your mind, that you never going to be in the military. But that's me talking. When God's involved, everything is on the table. Every plan can be changed. See, we don't really have a plan. God has a plan. We just got to follow along with it and be faithful. We got to study out the scripture. We got to understand the word of God. Understand that God has our back. He understands where we're coming from. Again, he has tolerance for bad behavior. That's one thing we can understand. That's one of the things we all know we have. If you don't think you have a bad behavior, if you haven't done bad things and you're not a sinner, the Bible says that you're a liar. We have to understand that where we are every day, that we get up. And we're going to have bad days. But I think, as Chris said earlier, you know, he had a bad day. He didn't want to do what he needed to do. But you can't let those bad days be a lot of bad days.
Right.
Because when you do that, you push him farther and farther away from God.
That's right.
You got to realize that, you know what, I got to turn around and change it. I got to get a sober judgment. I got to be like Jacob. I got to go to Bethel. I got to go away. I got to go back to my beginnings. I got to go back to the root of who I am, and that is with God. Once we do that, once you do all those things, then God can start doing great things in our life. And that's all I have this morning for you guys. Thank you for letting me share. God be glorified.
Amen. All right. Good job.